Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And today on the program, we have a very special guest. It's very seldom. As a matter of fact, it's only happened one other time in all the 80-some-odd episodes of this show that we've done that we've invited somebody to come back. And Jennifer Maggio is only the second guest that we've invited to come back. Jennifer's here today, and she's going to be speaking with us about single motherhood. Jennifer has a thriving ministry working with single mothers and is very interested in the knowledge that she has and taking that knowledge and applying it to mothers when they come out of incarceration and are reconnecting with their children and so forth, and just very practical advice. Jennifer Maggio is here with us today, and we're going to talk with her right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Me again. Have you got a Jam Buddy chord chart yet? If you don't have one, you need to get one. All you people that are aspiring musicians out there, let me tell you something. This thing will improve your playing. And the way it does is it teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System, and this enables you to play any song in any key. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart, and the way you find it is you just click on the link that's provided up there next to the podcast, and it'll take you to a place called Angie's Banjo, and you click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart, and you can kind of get an idea of what it's about. It's only about $4 or $5. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. You need to get one of those now, the Jam Buddy chord chart.
Walks in the rain, and when it was fashionable, I skipped the cocaine. I don't need a tangerine or wine to make me feel fine. Just press your lips against me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. I have returning with me today Jennifer Maggio. Jennifer has a thriving ministry for single moms. Jennifer, welcome back to the Journey of Hope.
Well, thank you so much for having me again. I'm excited to be with you.
You know, I went back and looked at your past, and I looked at your childhood, and man, you had it rough as a child.
That's probably an understatement.
Could you fill us in for those listeners that missed that first show a little bit about your background and where it is you're coming from?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I know that so many of your listeners, unfortunately, can probably identify with my story. Unfortunately, it's not that unique, but my mother was killed when I was very young. And so I was raised by my dad. And my dad dealt with her death through alcoholism and women. And so he really, through the years, and he was born in the 1930s, and so I just think that he was born during a time when men were not encouraged to share and talk and be able to freely work through their issues.
Interesting.
And so, you know, he masked that with severe alcoholism, and then he married a total of 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not even include the number of girlfriends and mistresses he had in between and during the marriages. And so it just really wound up being lots of women in and out of my life. I always say that once I got used to a new mom, it seemed that she was being ushered out and a new mom was being ushered in.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, and because my home was so tumultuous, the things that went on behind closed doors were what you would expect when you have a revolving door in your life. I had, from the time I was 3 years old, I was sexually abused. I went through 9 years of being abused at the hands of many. My father was not one of my abusers, nor do I think he knew about the abuse, but my home was not a safe place. There were lots of neighbors and step relatives and family friends that were coming in our home that were abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 9 years of being sexually abused, it really tore down my self-esteem. It just broke me. You know, I've been forced to steal, forced to view pornography, physically beaten, emotionally abused, you name it, mm-hmm. and I've walked through it. And that was really what resulted in a series of poor decisions on my behalf,
mm-hmm.
Which started with being sexually active at 13.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I noticed when I go through your biography is that, you know, you say that you accepted Jesus at the age of 9, but we still see these kinds of promiscuous behaviors taking place in your life, and I believe you had your first child when you were 15, and I'm wondering, you know, at what point did you really take salvation seriously? I mean, I personally believe that 9's a little young to understand, you know, what
well,
it's all about.
Well, I'll tell you that, certainly a legitimate question. I think I remember very vividly, believe it or not, when I was 9 years old, I was in my Sunday school class at church one morning,
mm-hmm.
and I really began to understand what it was to be a sinner. You know, I was raised in church. That's what's so interesting about my story is mm-hmm. my family cleaned up real well on a Sunday morning, and we usually moved when my dad remarried, so no one had any clue what type of past we came from or all of the things, all the brokenness that was really taking place in the home. So when I was 9 years old, I remember the story of Jesus dying on the cross and the what my sin did to me, you know, how it tore me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that from 9 to 12, you know, I went forward and gave my life to the Lord, and I made the public proclamation at the church, got baptized within a couple of Sundays thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And from about 9 to 12, I really had this intimacy with the Lord. I can remember praying. I would do Bible study. My parents would buy me little children's devotional. All of just the sweet innocence of childhood and having that walk with the Lord. And then when I began to approach puberty, I say that I put Jesus on the back burner and boys on the front burner.
Right.
And that's really, truly what happened. And of course, some of that was a result of having all of the abuse in my life and having no stability and, you know, having no mother and all of those things. But I also fully recognized that I made a lot of choices that were my own doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to me to say that because I don't want people to assume that because you've walked through hardship, and all of us have, I mean, who does not have a story?
Right.
had given me a free ticket to be a victim for the rest of my life. But I rededicated my life to the Lord when I was 20 years old. And honestly, it was out of sheer desperation. It was out of this feeling of hopelessness that I began to even question if God would want me in his family. I was embarrassed with all of the sin that I had in my life. I was embarrassed with the poor decisions that I had made through the years, and found it very difficult to come back to the Lord, because I thought, gosh, why would he want me? You know, I just felt so unworthy. And making that decision at 20 years old to rededicate my life to the Lord and to reacclimate myself to the local church is really what made the 180-degree turnaround in my life.
Well, one of the reasons I bring it up is, and it's a tough question that I ask you there, and I didn't mean to put you too much on the spot, but one of the things, Jennifer, I really like about you is that you put your story out there, and I in prison noticed a lot of men that were Christians that had grown up in church, me included, and man, did we make a bad decision one day. And you know, so your story shows our humanity, I believe, and it shows that we're all human, and that we make mistakes, but you can turn it around, and that's what I like about your story so much. And it's amazing, you know, we get pushed into a corner, we can really find God, can't we?
I hate to say it because it sounds terrible to say, but, you know, I had what I call my bathroom floor experience, and okay. It was just really just that crying out to God, which everybody can identify with.
Absolutely.
And it was a total abandonment of, you know, the boyfriend that I had held on to for so many years, and friends and family and just everything that I had clung to that was temporal and fading away. And in that moment on the bathroom floor, I thought, maybe, just maybe, the local church can help me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that is where, in fact, it was interesting. I was talking with someone yesterday, and I said, you know, that is why so many people find the Lord in prison, because you are at a place of complete brokenness.
That's right.
There's nothing else. You're just so hurt, so broken. And I minister to a lot of women in our local prison. And it's interesting how many of those women are single moms. And, of course, you know my passion is to encourage single moms. But as I'm sitting and looking at these women who are completely remorseful, completely repentant, and they're sitting there thinking of the result of everything that they've done and what that means to their children and what that means to their family, that's when the Lord can really speak to us.
That's
because
right.
We have nothing else to do but listen.
That's exactly right, and I found that to be the case in prison as well. That you know, I think that unfortunately some of us have to hit rock bottom before we can begin to move up, and it's because of our decision making. And I think that a lot of us make poor decisions. Now, I'm no psychiatrist or doctor, or I'm not even an astronaut, Jennifer, but I believe that it has to do with the fact that we don't cope well with the stressors in our life early in our life. And I noticed in your book, Overwhelmed, that you talk about relieving emotional stress. In your book, Overwhelmed, tell me a little bit about that. What changed for you in terms of dealing with the stressors in your life?
Well, you know, the older that I get, the more that I find this to be true. And that is that I do nothing apart from the Lord. And that sounds like a real cliche thing to say. It sounds like a lot of Christianese. It's real easy, you know, just give it all to God. But I find that my prayers with the Lord are much more transparent. I was so confused younger, even after I'd given my life to the Lord, and even if I was walking through this journey with growing closer to Him, I felt like I had to always be perfect. And I somehow convinced myself that when I was living in sin, whether that be when I was living with my boyfriend or when I would, be shutting a bar down on a Saturday night, I would still be the first one in church on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And I somehow convinced myself that I was pulling the wool over God's eyes. And so there was this immense amount of guilt. And I think that because my relationship with the Lord was so strained, and I really struggled with perfectionism, it did not embrace God's grace and all of those things, I was stressed out all the time. I often say that I get lots of questions from single moms about parenting and finances. Those seem to be the number one and two issues that most single moms around the country struggle with at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't get a lot of questions about are emotional and spiritual issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, when we have our emotional and spiritual issues healthy and whole, then the financial issues and the parenting issues often work themselves out. And I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does.
For me, that transition of being so overwhelmed, and I just think that was such a perfect title for the book, because I think when a single mom picks it up, that's the first thing that many of us have felt, is just utter stress, overwhelmed, tired, exhausted. And so that's what I tried to address in the book, was how did I make it through? And it's as simple as it sounds, it was nothing short of a miracle of God and a whole lot of prayer.
Mm-hmm. And participation in the church, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you even wrote a book, The Church and the Single Mom, and you raised the question that a lot of people might be wondering, or a lot of women might be wondering that are listening, what should a single mom look for in a church? What makes a church good for a single mom?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. This is what I will say. Because of all of the choices I have made and the lies that I continued to listen to that the enemy was whispering in my ear of how I wasn't worthy and how I was completely ruined and how my children would be forever ruined, all of those things that so many single moms and inmates that would be listening, I know that they hear those things in their head.
Mm-hmm.
I had a difficult time transitioning back into church. And I think that there's a common misconception that when we give our lives to the Lord, that everything is going to work itself out. And it will work itself out eventually. We know that all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. We know that. And we believe what God's Word says. But it's not promised that it will work out tomorrow. And I think that a lot of times what single moms do in particular is that they date the church. And they try lots of different churches, and because there's hurt, brokenness, and bitterness, and anger, and unforgiveness, and all of those things that take place when you have a failed marriage or a failed relationship,
mm-hmm.
you have a very high expectation on the church to be perfect and to mm-hmm. meet every single need. And we know when we're offended, hurt, and broken, we're looking for a reason to be more offended, hurt, and broken. And so I want to point that out, that when I transitioned back into the church, part of the reason it was so difficult had absolutely nothing to do with the church. It had so much more to do with me and
right.
where I was coming from emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that was half of the problem. The other half of the problem was indeed the church.
mm-hmm.
And part of it was that they, as compassionate as they were, and as much as I knew my little small church wanted me to be there was an ignorance, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but there was just an ignorance as to how to deal with me. I had two kids outside of marriage. I was too young to be in the adult Sunday school class, but I was in a different stage of life, so I didn't fit in with the youth and college age kids, even though I was really that age. There just was no place for me.
And you also, I noticed that you, I was reading through some of your blog, and I noticed that you mentioned that a singles ministry is not the same as a single mom's ministry.
And Excellent point. It's not. Lots of churches have singles ministries. Mm-hmm. Singles ministries, number one, are always co-ed. And for a single mom that has gone through a divorce, or she's lost her husband and she's a widow, or she had an unplanned pregnancy or whatever, many of those single moms don't need to be in a co-ed environment right now. We just need to come together as women and as mothers and be able to be 100% transparent. And I do also, by the way, advocate single dads ministry, so I should point that out. But, you know, the single dads ministries and the single moms ministries need to be kept separate. And not that they can't fellowship on occasion, but I hope that that goes without saying. But the singles ministries oftentimes are for an older crowd. It just happens to be that those are folks that have gone through divorce or maybe never married. And it tends to be 40s and above. And so the girls that are in their late teens, 20s, and 30s that already have children find themselves not fitting in anywhere. And consequently, if you begin to look at statistics, you see that a lot of that generation has fallen away from the church. That's why we're so passionate about putting single moms ministries in churches.
Well, let me kind of follow along with that, because some people might be wondering, is it, we're getting kind of touchy, sensitive here with these questionings, but is it okay with, is it okay for single moms to date? And, you know, is there, should they, if they are dating, should the children meet the person that they're dating? What kinds of thoughts do you have along those lines?
Oh, wow.
I told you.
I didn't know I was going to have such a loaded interview today. No, I'm totally teasing you. You know, I do get that question a lot. And I want to tell you, in fact, I just had an unbelievable conversation with a mentor of mine last night. And I was talking about a lot of issues that divide the church. And you'll understand where I'm going with this. You know, it's kind of like whether or not we should have contemporary worship or whether or not we should sing hymns or whether or not having a church social where there's dancing or whether there's absolutely no dancing or some of these things that we find to be denominationally divisive among the Christian body. They are things that, in my opinion, become majoring on the minors. And that's where I am with dating. I believe, and there's a whole school of thought, there's lots of books and that say absolutely no dating, that you should just be a lady in waiting, that you should just wait for your husband, and that God is going to present that person, and that you should not date. I am not 100% against dating, and so I'm just being transparent with your listeners here. I do feel, however, that as a single mom, you have, or single parent, period, you have a loaded responsibility. You have an added pressure, which is that you cannot create what I was raised in, which is a revolving door. My dad had lots of live-in girlfriends in between his marriages. And so not only did I have lots of moms that, you know, were with us for a period of time, but I had lots of women that I would grow attached to, and then the relationship would fall apart, and then here I was left broken yet again. And as a small child especially, you begin to process all of those things as part of your problem. It's not part of your parents' problem, it's part of your problem. And so I just want to caution parents with dating. Gosh, that's a tough one, but I would say my personal opinion is you really, really need to wait on introducing anyone to your children until you are at the place of seriously considering marriage. And I think that dating is a term that's used. I think it's okay for you to be, to go to a church social with somebody. I think it's okay to grab a movie with somebody. But you need to guard your heart, and you need to be praying, and you need to be listening to what the Lord would have, so that you're not giving yourself emotionally over to someone that the Lord has no intention of you being with.
Good answer. You get a gold star.
Good. I'm sweating now. Thank you very much.
Well, I think it's something that a lot of single people struggle with that have children. You know, it's like, so do the kids meet this person? Do they not? And I think you did a good job of answering that. And it's kind of along my thinking lines as well. And I want people listening to take heed of Jennifer's advice. Jennifer, do you also have a magazine?
I do. We actually have a free online magazine for single parents. And I do say that, you know, my book, The Church and the Single Mom, and Kids and the Single Mom, and the name of the magazine is Overwhelmed at the Life of a Single Mom. I say single mom because that's the majority of parents who have domiciliary custody of their children.
Right.
To be moms. But I want those single dads out there to know, I know who you are, and I know that your needs are just as you identify with the same needs that we would minister to single moms on. But yeah, we have release it a couple of times a year, but we have free magazines. We bring those to any of our events that we do, and you can just go online to our website at thelifeofasinglemom.com, and you can download those things free. What's been so beautiful is that those people, those Christian authors and speakers from around the country that really have a passion for single parents, have donated their work to us for us to get some quality articles in those magazines to bless the single parents.
Great. That's excellent. Was that question a little bit easier?
Oh, yes. Boy, it's getting easier as we go.
Jennifer Barnes Maggio, Overwhelmed. She has a book called Overwhelmed, The Church and the Single Mom, Kids and the Single Mom. She's got the magazine out there, and I know she's got a really cool blog, too. Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being here today. But before I let you go, how do we get to your books? Where do we find those?
They are in every major retailer. They're on all of the major book websites. I would say the simplest thing, if you want to just look at the resources we have available, and we do have a lot of free resources as well, then go to thelifeofasinglemom.com, and there's going to be tons of stuff there, and even free blogs and things to encourage you.
Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. So good to talk to you again.
We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. You're on the job. Send me some mail for crying out loud. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Drop me a line. Well, we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest, Jennifer Maggio. I want to encourage you to click on the links and go check out the information that she has out there. Very good information for single parenting. And I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We've got a lot of great shows coming up in the next few weeks. You want to be sure and stay tuned. And we'll check you next week right here on the Journey of Hope.